Hi there, club members, and welcome to this week's Lunch and Learn. As you know, we are in Goals Month, this month of July, and last week, the first week of July, we were concentrating on setting the right goal. Today's Lunch and Learn is all about identifying and overcoming what stops us from achieving our goals. I've got a lot of information to pack into this Lunch and Learn. I'm going to do my very best to stick within the half hour. Let's get stuck straight into it and see how I go. First of all, let's identify all the many things that can stop us from succeeding, that despite how much we want that beautiful goal, there are certain things that can sometimes stand in our way from achieving that wonderful goal. And sometimes we have had so many previous incidences of setting a goal and then for some reason not achieving that goal, and that's hovering in our brains too. What's the point of setting a goal? What's the point of creating the plan and moving towards it? Let's just let life happen. So let's have a look at some of the things that do stop us from succeeding. And we're going to go through each one of these carefully. Number one, a limited mindset. And so it's actually our subconscious minds and our subconscious beliefs that are directing our behaviors and our ability to succeed, not our conscious, it's not our will to want to succeed. That's not what's faulty. It's the talk, the self-talk that we have in the back of our brains that sometimes we're aware of and sometimes that we're not. And that's the thing that is limiting our chances of succeeding. Another reason is fear of failure. So we fear failing and that's what stops us. How about fear of success? This used to be something that I had no idea about, that I thought, gosh, who would fear success? That's crazy talk. But we'll talk more about that in a minute. Not a big enough why. Sometimes this is the reason why we fail to succeed. The goal is really bright and shiny when we first make it, but then over time, we haven't got a strong enough why behind it to keep it bright and shiny. Another reason, focusing on the reasons why things might fail rather than the reasons why things might succeed. We've all come across people in our lives that seem to be constantly biased toward the negative. They're the ones in the staff meeting where someone brings up a great idea and they're putting their hand up saying, oh, I don't think it will work because of these 5,000 different reasons. Then you've got others in the group that say, yeah, let's give it a burl. What have we got to lose? Lack of persistence. We are all guns blazing at the very start, but then it all peters off over time. A failure to educate ourselves about what's required in order to achieve that goal. What skills, what knowledge do I need to even be capable of reaching my successful goal? Surrounding yourself with unhelpful people. Sometimes it can be family, friends, the team that you're part of. So we'll have a touch on that as well. How about lack of courage? We just don't have the bravado that some people seem to have, and so we don't go full tilt towards our goals. Failing to take action. Isn't that one of the biggest reasons why we don't succeed at our goals? We're just not taking the action required. So we're going to now go through each one of these elements one at a time. The first one that was on our list, limited mindset. Okay, a lot of you may have seen this example to display what the difference between conscious thought and unconscious thought or subconscious thought is. Everything above that waterline, it looks a lot like a tooth actually, with the gum line there. Everything above the waterline is our conscious stuff. So the outcomes that we produce are our results and our behaviors, which is all of our habits, the things that we do every day. And then everything else is subconscious, the stuff that is going on behind the scenes that we're not really conscious of. As you can see here, the observable stuff is all above the waterline. Again, the outcomes that we produce and the behaviors that we're exhibiting, and everything else underneath is actually quite invisible, not just to the people around us, but also quite often to ourselves, unless we've gone down that self-awareness path to find out, why do we do the things we do? Why do we feel the way we feel? So it's all of our emotions, thinking, values, and beliefs. And the way this works is that it is our beliefs that help us identify our values. It is our values that leads us to think the things that we think. It's thinking the things that we think leads to how we feel about everything around us. How we feel about everything around us leads to us to behave in a certain way. And our behaviors, the things that we do every day, they directly lead to our results. Now, the reason why this is such a crucial thing to understand is because our beliefs and values are the things that are going to eventually get to our results, our goals. And so if the reason why we're not achieving our goals is residing down here, it doesn't matter how much we do with our behaviors, it's not going to end up fixing the problem long term. And in order to really get enormous shift within the way we approach our goals and our ability to achieve those goals, we need to start to tap into our values and beliefs. And our values and beliefs come from a part of the subconscious, which over time has recorded every single thing you've done and felt. It's recorded everything. You may not be able to consciously recall it, but it's residing there, and that's been proven through hypnosis and other techniques to get people to remember details. Through their conscious mind, they couldn't, but through hypnosis, they absolutely could. All of our childhood experiences, any trauma that we have experienced, our protective reactions have been generated from this space. This space is not logical. This is one of the most crucial steps. You think, gosh, certainly I wouldn't have an unhelpful belief, because consciously I can see how unhelpful that would be to my life. However, you know, when we look at that fact that our subconscious records everything that's gone on, it doesn't necessarily record exactly what went on. It's not reality. It's not a carbon copy of what happened. It is our interpretation of what happened, how we felt and responded. That's not particularly logical at all times. It is incredible how often we are moving through our world with beliefs that we develop when we were little children. And it's like having the little child you direct all of your behaviors now. If you are a parent and you've got a little child, would you ever hand over that responsibility to them? I'm now going to think and behave in the way you deem appropriate for the moment? No way. We want to be more evolved than that. And we want to be able to tap into consciously what drives us, and then find techniques on how to shift our beliefs and values so we've got more control over it. So when we respond in the moment, it's a way that we choose and a way that is helpful, rather than leftover beliefs, because they've never been challenged, that are callbacks to when we were 2, 3, 4. There's even indication that people have memory from before they were even born, when they were in utero. Crazy stuff. The other crazy stuff is that all of this subconscious stuff, our beliefs that drive our values that directs our thinking that makes us feel a certain way, all of this controls 95% of our lives. 95% of our lives. So if it's got such an enormous impact on our experience of life and what we're able to achieve, we need to look into that subconscious and do what we can to make adjustments so we are now responding, thinking, feeling, behaving in helpful ways that help us reach our goals, not hinder us and sabotage our journey. So examples of limiting beliefs over empowering beliefs, the limiting beliefs, the things that restrict us, constrict us, keep us where we are, nice and safe, as opposed to empowering beliefs, things that make us expand and grow and progress, are: if my business is a failure, I am a failure. How many of us would feel that way? I certainly felt that way in the build-up to me owning my own dental practice. Actually, it was when I did own my own dental practice in the early stages that I started developing this fear. What if I make this business fail? What if, because I'm the person that I am, this practice goes under? That means that I would have failed. And what does that mean? Terrible, terrible things. So if my business is a failure, I am a failure. That is a limiting belief that would have stopped me from progressing powerfully forward. However, flipping that to an empowering belief of, I cannot succeed without failures. Indeed, it would be my failures, my minor failures in the running and the management of that business, that would help me understand what would make it successful and not fail. And a big part of that self-awareness stuff and trying to reprogram what's going on in our subconscious mind is replacing our limiting beliefs with an empowering alternative belief. How about, I fear failure. I just don't want to fail. I fear failure. How about instead, I fear stagnation. I fear not progressing. I fear remaining exactly where I am and never getting better. Now that's something to fear. How about a limiting belief of success will change me and my life? And that's scary. A lot of people don't like change. They like to keep everything as is because I know how to manage and live within everything as is. And anything outside of what is going to make me behave in a way that I'm not familiar with. And so I don't like change. So success will change me and my life. And that is scary. How about this? I am always in control of what makes up my life. Success simply exposes my life to more options. Just because I'm successful and have a certain life doesn't mean I lose all ability to have any control over that and cherry pick what I like and get rid of the stuff that I don't like. I will always have that control over my life. All success will deliver me is further opportunities that I can choose to take up or not. So the limiting belief, success will change me and my life, and that is scary. Two, I am always in control of what makes up my life, and success simply exposes my life to more options. Now that's empowering. So how are we going to reprogram our subconscious? And we do it by one unhelpful belief at a time. So I've got this little step-by-step here. First of all, whenever you identify you've got a belief that is unhelpful in your world, such as, I don't have the skill and knowledge to succeed, I want you to think about, is this belief a fact? Sometimes it's a fact, I don't have the skill and knowledge right now to succeed. Sometimes it's not a fact, I fear the unknown, I fear change. So maybe we're not quite sure of what the changes are, there's no facts around what my life is going to specifically look like, I just fear it, I fear the unknown. First of all, let's have a look, is that belief a fact? Because quite often it's not a fact. I fear if I stand up and perform public speaking, I will faint and drop to the ground. That is not a fact. That is purely a fear. That is not a fact. And so is the belief a fact? In this sense, you go, yeah, it's kind of a fact. I don't believe I have the skill and knowledge to succeed, and I certainly don't believe I do have it. Okay, well, let's have a look at the next step. What is an empowering fact? Rather than the belief fact, what's an empowering fact? Well, empowering fact is, I can learn new skills and increase my knowledge limitlessly. Limitlessly. My brain, all of our brains, are not to a point where they get to a point of, that's it, you can't learn anymore. Physically incapable of taking on any more information, physically incapable of developing any further skills, that is it, you have finished growing. Not the case. You can always learn new skills and increase knowledge, and it is a limitless space up there in our brains. And so that is an empowering fact. So we've got an unhelpful belief that I don't have the skill and knowledge to succeed, and now we need to identify the empowering fact. The empowering fact is, well, I can learn anything. Now comes the mantra, the repetition. Now, Dr. Bruce Lipton is an epigeneticist, and many of you may have heard me speak about him before, and within this lesson, there is my Julie Parker Practice Success podcast episode about self-confidence. Within it, there is an audio grab of about 5 or 6 minutes of Dr. Bruce Lipton talking about our beliefs and how to shift our beliefs. And I talk about this power walk that I go on to shift my unhelpful beliefs once I've identified them. It has been enormously successful in my life, and I hope it is for you as well. So we need to develop a mantra Affirmations are a little bit different. They're more just a reminder of the way we would like to think, or a saying that we resonate particularly with. A mantra is different because it's a repetition of this mantra that will help to shift these internal beliefs that are going on subconsciously. And so identify a useful mantra in this particular example. It could be, I love learning. So it's about getting rid of the resistance around it and embracing it and saying, this is who I am. This is the old me used to think that my skill and knowledge base was a limit for me, limited my chances of success. Now the new me, my new belief is that I love learning and I just learn all the time. I'm constantly absorbing new information. I'm getting better and better all the time. And so you'll go through this process where you're restating again and again, repetitively, I love learning, I love learning, I love learning, I love learning. And if you follow my steps within that podcast episode, I really believe it's going to make a big difference in your life. But it takes commitment, so I encourage you to do it. So that's how you can get started on making sure that if you have a limited mindset preventing you from succeeding and achieving your goals, that you can get over that. Next, fear of failure. This is an obvious one, I think. I don't think any of us really enjoy failure and experiencing the emotions that go along with it. And this is the reason why. These are the things that we tell ourselves when we are suffering fear of failure. Failure means I am a failure. I regret the times I have failed. Other people look down on me for failing. Failure means I am not good enough. It's also bright and happy, isn't it? People may stop loving me if I fail. Maybe you lose status. Maybe you lose people's respect. You fear that. Failure means life is a struggle. It's just one failure after another after another. I feel bad when I fail. It feels terrible. I must avoid failure. I just have to avoid failure. I want to stay within my comfort zone because at least within my comfort zone, I'm competent. So here are the signs that you may be suffering fear of failure. There are four signs of fear failure that have been identified by the US motivational speaker and self-awareness guru Tony Robbins, but then I've added another three of my own as well that I think are signs that you are fearing failure. Number one, you worry what other people think. So I'm not free to fail and fail and fail in order to succeed and learn how to succeed because I fear too much what others think of me. And so I might be okay with my own failure, but I'm not okay with other people thinking I'm a failure. So you worry too much of what other people think. You set low expectations on yourself. I fear failure of leaping from this step to that step, but I know for sure I'm going to get to this step because it's so tiny. I'm just going to go there instead. I'm not going to stretch myself too far. You procrastinate. This is a big one. We think, oh, well, I'm just procrastinating. That's what I do. I always, you know, look on Facebook or I go out for a walk or I decide to do a bit of housework before I get stuck in to tackle my goal. And so procrastination is actually a sign that you are fearing failure. You don't want to actually roll out that plan because what if it fails? If I procrastinate, I never have to get it done. I never have to face the fear. You can't move on from your failures. And so you focus so heavily on your failures, you cannot see the learning from them, the evolving to the next step from it. You're not utilizing your failure the way it's supposed to be utilized in another step forward, making sure that your next step is more helpful. So you are stuck within the failure rather than moving on from it. Another few points that I think are signs that you have a fear of failure are perfectionism. Perfectionism. It really can stop us from getting that big task done and completed because we just keep working on it, working on it, working on it, making sure it is absolutely perfect. Because if I keep doing that, I don't have to put it out to the world and find out for sure whether it works or not. Easily distracted. You're working on something new. It's really important. It's a big step towards your big goal. What was that? Facebook? Yeah, I'll have a look at that because now I don't have to look at this anymore. I don't have to keep focusing on this because what if I put all this energy in and it fails? So I'm very easily distracted. And avoiding responsibility. I think that's a big thing. You can see that in dental teams. You know, I've certainly seen it in dental teams where, you know, we're trying to engender within the team culture, a culture of constant and never-ending improvement, and people who are afraid of failing in that moment, they will, rather than stand up and go ahead and do that thing, they avoid any responsibility. So I don't want to stand out, I don't want to take any on any more roles or responsibilities, because what if I fail? So they tend to avoid responsibility. So here is a great quote by Brian. So here is a tremendous quote by Brian Tracy. It is not failure itself that holds you back. It is the fear of failure that paralyzes you. So we know from our history, from our experiences of life, that failure itself is fine, because once we get to the other side of it, we recognize all the learnings we get from it. We understand that it's part of how we evolve as a human being. So it's not the failure that holds us back. That pushes us forward. But certainly our fear of that failure paralyzes us in the moment we can't move forward. And so if you have got a fear of failure, if you've identified any of these areas that I've highlighted, then you may have a fear of failure, and that can be tackled through addressing your beliefs of what failure actually means to you. So flip all of the beliefs that you have, the unhelpful beliefs around failure that you have, flip them to an empowering fact that then becomes a mantra, and one by one you get into these grooves of knocking off all the unhelpful beliefs and implanting new empowering beliefs. So limited mindset, fear of failure. What's next? Fear of success. Now, fear of success, as I said at the start, what is there to be afraid of? It's success. Success usually means that people think better about you, that you may get more money, that you're happier, you're more peaceful, you get lots of stuff done every day, you're building an empire, you're doing all these wonderful things. Whatever path to success you're choosing, isn't that fantastic if you succeed and achieve those goals? What is there possibly to fear around success? It was a question that I really had, but after speaking with Charles about it, I started to recognize, oh, I get it. And I think this is a real hidden fear, this fear of success. A lot of us may actually not be aware of, but they are thoughts that run around in the back of our mind, hampering our ability to achieve our goals. Do any of these resonate with you? And I'm sorry, but there's a lot of them. Will I lose my friends if I were to be successful? You know, if I'm all of a sudden doing different stuff and becoming a slightly different person, are they going to like me still? Am I going to alienate my friends? Are they going to judge me for being more successful than they are? Am I going to lose my friends? Will there be higher expectations on me? You know, I'm pretty comfortable with having the current expectations on me. If you put more pressure on me, how am I going to respond to that? Am I capable of it? I will have greater responsibilities on my shoulders. Oh, you know, remember one of Charles Coves's philosophies is your solution for solving problems is not a problem-free world. It is bigger problems. As you get better and better at what you do, you get to solve bigger and bigger problems. And so the responsibility on your shoulders, in this moment, you're thinking, I'm not capable of managing all that added responsibility. I'm just capable of what I'm managing now. You forget that by the time you get to success, you are a slightly different person. You are more capable. You can solve bigger problems. You can shoulder heavier responsibility. More people will depend on me. I need to perform not just for myself, which is what I'm doing now, but now I'm going to have a whole raft of people, my team around me, depending upon my performance. What if I'm just not up to the task? I feel a certain level of competency right now. And again, we forget that when we expand, we grow. And so we're thinking we're going to shoulder all of this stuff, have this new life that we think right now I'm not capable of doing that. But we haven't taken into consideration how much we expand and grow. And so we fear that I'm just not going to be able to be up to the task. I will not be able to sustain my success. That's a fear. That's a kind of a fear of failure thing as well, isn't it? That I'll achieve success, but then I have to maintain it. That's going to be tough. That takes a lot of work. Am I up for that? What happens if I fail and lose the success? What do I tell my friends, my family, my colleagues then? What if I change and my partner, my family no longer love me? Or just like your friendship group, they lose respect in you. Or they don't like the new version of you. What if I lose the things that are precious to me right now because my life has changed? What if I get too busy to do the things that are important to me? I've got hobbies that I love spending time doing. I've got my family that I love spending time with. I like to do my own downtime and do a bit of reading and watching telly. What if I get so busy that I can't do all those enjoyable things anymore? What if I turn into someone that I don't like? My picture of successful people that are all implanted in my subconscious that I'm not consciously aware of, what if I actually don't like certain characteristics of them and we're resisting success because I don't want to become like that? Here's a few more. What if I don't like the lifestyle of success? So maybe you're an introvert and you think that means I'm going to have to meet a whole bunch of new people. Maybe I have to do some public speaking because I'm so mega successful. I don't want to do any of that. I love my home. I'll have to move house to a more successful area. My kids will have to go to more successful schools. I'm going to have to start mixing with different people. I don't like this lifestyle that is coming, that's becoming apparent. What if I don't like the workload? You know, am I bringing more and more stuff onto my plate and I'm not going to know how to manage all of that stuff? I actually don't want my life to change. If you're a naturally happy person and you're an optimistic person, you feel a lot of gratitude for the things in your life, sometimes you can actually be restricted to a certain sense because you are so comfortable with your life. I just don't want it to change. And so I'm going to pretend like I'm achieving my goals and going down the path of goals achievement, but I'm not going to truly do it because in essence, at the core of me, I really want things to stay the same because I'm so content right now. And so we can still feel the gratitude, feel the happiness, but we can also have a true understanding that success won't take any of that away. Success simply provides you additional opportunities to choose from, should you wish to experience even more or different types of happiness, gratitude, and contentment. And this is a classic. Who do you think you are wanting to be so successful? You know, sometimes we're brought up in families that possibly didn't go to university. And so you have aspirations of going to university and you're a young person in high school and the family around you said, what do you mean you want to go to university? What for? You should just get out in the working force straight away. And so sometimes things happen to us when we're children that makes us feel like, who do you think you are? Why do you think you're different from the rest of us that you can try to aspire to be better than any of us? Who do you think you are? Terrible, terrible phrase. And so the symptoms of fear of success are, again, procrastination is there as well, because that's certainly we're trying to hinder and sabotage our own efforts to get towards success so we don't have to face any of the fears, the many, many fears I just detailed. We can downplay our successes, even the small ones. You know how people come up and say, oh, you did an absolutely magnificent job on that. You're so talented with your Excel documents. And rather than saying, thanks, I spent a lot of time on it. We instead say, oh, actually, other team members helped me as well. I couldn't have done it if I didn't do that course. And so we downplay our successes, no matter how minor they are. We downplay them. If you feel like you're always downplaying your successes, maybe you do have a fear of success, being identified as successful, identifying yourself as successful. Imposter syndrome, that's a big one of who do you think you are. Imposter syndrome is certainly a fear of success. That why, for example, with me in dental consulting, dental coaching, going out to dental practices and helping them be more successful, writing a blog about my insights about the industry, doing the podcast and talking about how I think dental practices can be more successful. Who do I think I am? What makes me think I've got any better advice than any other consultant or business owner out there? Who do I think I am that I'm so special that people should listen to me? Gosh, the negative self-talk that does play in the back of our brains can be quite chaotic and certainly unhelpful. Moving through my power walk mantra repetition process that's within the Julie Parker Practice Success podcast, self-confidence that's attached to this lesson is really going to start helping shift some of these unhelpful beliefs. Self-sabotage. And so, you know, sometimes you get people who are so deep into self-sabotage, they're doing things that are really quite reckless. You know, they start drinking on the job. Maybe they take drugs over the weekend so they're not performing at their best through the week. So they're doing all these things as a way of averting responsibility to another thing. So that's why I can't be successful, because I've got all these other self-sabotage habits going on that are preventing me from achieving my success and really making it difficult for yourself. How about surrounding yourself with people who do not challenge you? You know, this is part of being in that comfort zone as well. I'm just going to stick with my friendship group, my network, my working group, because I always feel self-confident and competent within that group. How about extending yourself beyond that group to people who are achieving a slightly higher level of success than you? Then all of a sudden you're trying to aspire for something greater. Then to become the norm, you have to step up and start behaving in a different way. So surrounding yourself, if you're finding yourself constantly surrounding yourself with people that just make you feel very safe in your little cocoon, you may be fearing success. And certainly one of the biggest symptoms of a fear of success is simply quitting, taking any opportunity, big or small, just to say, that's it, it's too hard, I can't do it, I'm not capable, I quit. A great quote, again, is one by Dennis Waitley. Procrastination is the fear of success. People procrastinate because they are afraid of the success that they know will result if they move ahead now. Because success is heavy. It carries a responsibility with it. And it is much easier to procrastinate and live on the someday I'll philosophy. Someday I'll do it. Someday I'll run a marathon. Someday I'll buy my own business. Someday I'll learn that new skill. And so if you're like me and you think, what is this fear of success all about? Some of those phrases may have resonated with you and you can start to appreciate that it may be lurking around there in your subconscious mind. And again, the answer to it is finding an empowering fact as opposed to the unhelpful belief and developing a mantra to it. Go on that power walk and do that mantra. The next thing that can stop us from succeeding is that we haven't got a big enough why. Now, how do we get a really strong, compelling why that has enough energy in it that it will sustain us and motivate us over the long term? And in my world, it's always been one of two things. Number one, you make your goal so bright, so shiny, so powerful that you just want to run towards it. So that's where you do a lot of visualization, positive visualization, projecting yourself forward once you've already achieved the goal, thinking about what that sense of achievement feels like, how happy you are, your new beautiful world that's around you. So make the goal so bright and shiny that it itself, all you have to do is remember it or have your vision board or the thing that makes you remember those feelings around achieving that goal and just keep on moving towards it. Make it so bright that it's a huge motivator for you. The other way is make your anti-goal so big that you would do anything to run away from it. Now, what an anti-goal is, it is just as when you're trying to achieve a bright, beautiful goal and you want to visualize, and so you visualize getting there, how you feel when you get there. How about the opposing goal, the goal that you just want to avoid at all costs? Really think about, if I don't achieve any of the goals that I set out for myself, if I don't grow and expand, if I just stay the same I am right now today, what does the next 5, 10, 50 years, what do they look like to me? And they usually look pretty grim. I'm remaining the same. I'm not getting any new friends. My current friends are sick of my inability to grow, so they've left me. My marriage broke down because I'm so stubborn in my space and I can't grow and develop with my family and their self-awareness journey as well. I haven't achieved any more money in my career. I have lost the respect of my family and my peers and all of the things. Really detailed, just as like I want you to detail the bright, shiny goal. If that's not doing it for you, then what has certainly worked for me is really putting it, loading up this anti-goal. This is the thing I'm trying to avoid. And you load it up to the point when you reread it back to yourself, you're in tears and you're like, I never can have this as the result of my life. And that can give you the big enough why to move away from the negative outcome to keep you on the path of your goal's success. So really make your why big enough by either making it so bright and shiny and beautiful that you're moving towards it, or making it so horrendous and scary that you're moving away from it. Next, focusing on the reasons things might fail rather than the reasons that things might succeed. And as I said earlier, we all know those people that have got a bias toward the negative, a bias toward the problems that will be generated, a bias towards why things won't work out, why that idea is stupid, why that goal, we would never be able to achieve it. And then we've got the other people that can only see opportunity with every idea, and within every goal, all they can see are all the different strategies and pathways towards that goal. Keep in mind, Robert Sharma said this, what you focus on grows, what you think about expands, and what you dwell upon becomes your destiny. This is a powerful, powerful quote. If you feel like you are biased toward the negative, I would print this quote out and I would put it on a wall on your computer screen. I would have it, and what I did once with one of the quotes that I found very impactful for me, up the little doorway, you know, my phone, a lot of us have phone cases, you could have it on a bit of paper in there, so you are forced to read it on a regular basis. Put it in your car on your dashboard, blue tack it there. Do whatever you need to do to have that repetition of the helpful fact, the empowering fact, so you're trying to shift the way you are programmed to date. So you shift from a bias toward the negative, so you're all of a sudden you're going to be focusing on what grows, you've got a bias towards the positive. And really do try to catch yourself in the moments. And we're never perfect straight away. It only takes practice before we get to mastery. So forgive yourself when you fall over. The key is to not fall over. So for example, go to the bias of the negative and find out reasons why things won't work. Just identify it. Ah, I'm doing it again. What's my alternative empowering thought? Ah, that's right. My empowering alternative thought is that what I focus on grows. And so I'm going to focus on the idea, the goal, the opportunity, the way this can be a solution. Now, flipping on to the next reason that we stop succeeding is a lack of persistence. What do? When we just have that lack of persistence, it feels like there's a brick wall up in front of us. And what I believe you need to overcome a lack of persistence is, number one, you have to have that clearly defined goal. Write it down somewhere. Have it, again, plaster it on your computer screen and the dashboard of your car. Have your goal so clearly defined that you know how to visualize it, or you know what your anti-goal is to avoid, but have it very clearly defined. Then motivate it up with your big why, like really build bells and whistles on it to make sure that you've got that really compelling why behind it. Then you have to develop a list of actions that will lead you towards goal achievement. And then you must diarize these actions, because you must be accountable to the little steps along the way that get us to the big goal. And you will start to train your brain to have faith in yourself that you are accountable, that you do stick to the things that you need to get done in order to achieve your goal, because you have got these items diarized. You're not relying on your old default habits, your old default human behavior patterns. You are establishing something new. And our next week, Lunch and Learn, is all about developing those habits and how to support your path all the way through your goal achievement. And so if you have got lack of persistence as one of the reasons why you are failing at achieving your goals, I suggest you go through these 5 points. Develop your big goal. Build up the why behind it. Get a list of actions to reach your goal. Diarize which actions are going to be happening when, and then be accountable. Make sure you put those alerts up on that online diary so you get a ping, 7 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning, so you get your mind right for the day you get that thing done. The next one was failure to educate yourself. And this comes to my favorite quote of all time by Archilochus. We do not rise to the level of our dreams, we fall to the level of our training. If we do not have the skills and knowledge to achieve our goal, we must take those action steps towards achieving those skills and knowledge. Now, years ago, decades ago, you had to go to university. To get to university, you had to have completed HSC. These were things that were not always available to everybody who weren't academically inclined. I was one of those people. However, nowadays, the world is at our feet. All of these ways to educate and upskill ourselves. There are books, audiobooks, podcasts, YouTube videos. YouTube has become my online university. Put anything in there, there's someone out there to teach you how to do it. Online courses, colleges. get a mentor, someone who's done it already before you, and learn from them. Get them to help guide you on the path to success. Hire coaches and consultants like myself in whatever area you're trying to achieve your goal and learn from them. There are so many ways to educate yourself. It can never be the reason you don't achieve success in your goals. The next thing was surround yourself. The next challenge to achieving our goals was surrounding yourself with unhelpful people. Jim Rohn has a quote that I'm sure many of you have heard before. You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. You think about, who are the five people you spend most of the time with? Sometimes it is your comfort group, those that don't challenge you, don't make you want to expand and grow. They don't have a higher standard that you're trying to constantly achieve. The people you spend the most time with shape who you are. They determine what conversations dominate your attention. They affect to which attitudes and behaviors you are regularly exposed. Eventually, you start to think like them and behave like them. So make sure that the five people you spend a lot of time with, or some of the people you spend a lot of time with, are those people who have achieved a level of success that if you were to emulate their behaviors, their thoughts, their actions, you would also be likely to achieve that level of success. Lack of courage. Oh, gosh. We do need to be bold when we're achieving goals. Some of the goals that we have are huge and extraordinary, and we need to have a lot of courage in order to achieve success. And sometimes we're waiting to feel the courageous part of our character to come out. Sometimes we think that once I feel courageous, then I'll overcome the fears. It's just not the case. As Tony Robbins says, courage is the antidote to fear. It is the antidote to fear. Courage does not mean that you're not afraid. It means that you are afraid, but you do it anyway. You go boldly forth anyway. Remember what fear is: false evidence appearing real. And the last step in what stops us from succeeding in achieving our goals is failing to take action. And my advice to you is just know what action to take. So it's a reverse engineer process. First of all, you identify your goals. Then you identify what strategies can help you achieve your goals. For example, let's put it in complete dental terms here. If one of your goals was to get more new patients every month, one strategy could be SEO advertising. Another strategy could be providing your receptionist with training, communications over the phone training, so she can convert more new patient callers into actual appointment times. Maybe another strategy is to ask for your existing patients to refer friends and family. So there could be many strategies in order to achieve your goal. So identify the strategy you're going to tackle first of all, and then identify what actions need to be rolled out in order to meet that strategy. If it was to ask for your existing patients for referrals, then one of your action strategies is, what are we going to say? Who's going to say it? And who are we going to ask? And so you bring it down to actual action points, and always, always provide yourself with a sense of accountability. Whenever you put an action in place, diarize it. And then a week later, a day later, an hour later, a month later, whenever the timing is right, put in, did I do that action? A reminder, an accountability step for yourself. And so make taking action your habit. This can be a helpful belief, a helpful mantra that you repeat to yourself all the time. I must say, there were times where I've had many clients going on at any one time and I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed. There's many things I need to get done, make sure I get the blog out every week, make sure I get the lunch and learn out every week, all of these things. When I started my mantra of I'm super productive, and I'd repeat it over and over again on these power walks over and over again, I didn't take any conscious additional action, different action. I just became super productive. It got rid of all of my resistance around feeling overwhelmed and having too many things I felt on my to-do list. I was super productive. I can handle everything. And I did. And I didn't even have any real thought about it. I just started doing stuff really quickly all the time and well. So our core beliefs really do drive and direct our behavior and how we feel about our world around us. And you can make taking action your habit. If you've got the belief in your head, I always tell myself I'm going to do things, but then I never do them, you'll never do them. Identify that as an unhelpful limiting belief that you want to shift. And then identify the empowering belief. I get everything done. I'm a woman of action. I'm a man of action. Repeat it over and over and over again. And you will be amazed at how your behaviors will start to fall in line with the new belief that you have about yourself. Really quite powerful. I hope you enjoyed today's Lunch and Learn. I really do encourage you to think about, if you're really wanting to achieve that bright, shiny goal, think about what possibly could be stopping you in the past and tackle those things straight off the top and have it part of your journey of goal achievement. Because if you can get over these little hurdles, all of a sudden you can identify any goal you like and you'll be able to achieve it. Next time is week 3 of our July being goals month, and we are talking about creating the habits and the processes for your goals achievement. So I do look forward to seeing you next time. See you later.